and the Archers continues tonight at 7. In a moment, the last piece of music that Schubert ever heard, Beethoven's Quartet in C-sharp minor, is the theme for our afternoon play.
The Impressionists on BBC One.
Degas was always different from us. Part of our movement, but outside of it. You never quite knew where you were with him.
Don't talk to me about these half-wits who clutter up the countryside with their easels.
Edgar Degas rejected Impressionism, yet he was the very model of it. Bold, rebellious, and innovative.
I don't have to please anyone. I'm an artist. I paint what I see. I paint the truth.
Experience the passion and the struggle behind some of the world's most famous paintings. The Impressionists. Sunday evening at 6:35 on BBC One.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now it's time for the afternoon play. Today's drama documentary centres on one of Beethoven's late great quartets, the Quartet in C-sharp minor. It was a piece of music that fellow composer Franz Schubert desperately wanted to hear before he died.
When he was very, very sick, and knowing he was going to die, Schubert asked to hear a performance in his room of the C-sharp minor quartet by Beethoven, and it was organized by Holtz, who was the second violin of this quartet. They went to where he was staying and played this piece. It was a rarely performed piece which Schubert knew about, which he must have sensed with all his awe of Beethoven, that this was an extraordinary piece, something that, you know, went beyond normal pieces.
Resurrecting Schubert by Nicholas McInerney.
The first movement. It's slow, it's a fugue, it's organic in its growth. The piece itself is very unconventional. It needs a very, very open mind about what to expect. The more open you can be, the more there's Pandora's box. The more wonderful things come out of it.
There he is. Can't you see him?
Please keep still, Herr Schubert.
How can I? Turn around.
But Dr. Rimmer said you have to lie straight on your pillow and not move whilst you're bled.
Katerina.
So the blood can flow freely into the dish and wash
out.
And you're fit and well again.
And Ludwig Beethoven is here. Look, he's standing right beside you.
It's a fantasy, if you like.
I'm sorry, Herr Schubert, I can't see anyone.
Right there. Yeah, right there. See? Oh, look. His eyes so black and intense. His great cloak swirling. And
don't get up.
I have to.
But you're too weak.
I must speak to him, Katerina.
This is a fantasy which unfolds in the most extraordinary way.
Just bow down before him.
But there's no one there, sir. No one. We're alone in this room.
You're lying. He's there. He's there. The answer to my prayers. Oh, the angel of my deliverance. The godhead of all genius. He's come to save me. His devoted disciple. Yes, his fervent apostle. No, come closer. Herr Beethoven, come closer. Let me kiss your...
No, please.
No, let me touch you. Oh!
Schubert. Herr Schubert.
Beethoven was 57 when he died, and Schubert was 31 when he died. There's one false account of the two men meeting. I believe it was false. I really believe that they didn't meet. It's a curious fact that although Schubert wished to be buried next to Beethoven, and in fact his wish happened that they were buried in the Währinger Cemetery, that about 60 years after their deaths, the area in which this cemetery was became highly unsuitable, really, to continue as an important cemetery. It became a public park. So the bodies were exhumed and reburied in 1888 at the Zentralfriedhof.
Frau Streicher.
I beg your pardon?
I saw you standing at the edge of the crowd. Is it you?
My name is Kleinbach.
Of course you're married now. But your maiden name was Streicher, yes?
That's correct.
Even after 35 years, I recognize that voice. How about me?
I'm sorry.
It's Matthias. Matthias Reiss. I would have been 19. You were 17. I played the viola for Schubert that afternoon.
Viola?
The Beethoven quartet. The C-sharp minor. He'd asked for it. The poor man was dying and you were nursing him.
35 years ago.
I remember it like yesterday.
Clearly your memory is better than mine. Goodbye.
Listen. Don't go.
Herr Reiss, have you been drinking?
Please, let me convince you. Beyond all doubts. It's your hands.
My hands?
Yes. You had such pretty hands. You stood over in the corner by his bed in your starched apron, hands crossed, those long fingers gently touching. I remember staring at them.
Herr Reiss,
so smooth and white, like some cooling balm.
Please stop this.
35 years later and they're still the same, Katerina. Look at them. Hands to heal, to anoint, to caress.
Officer!
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Officer!
I didn't mean to offend you. Katerina! Katerina, please, stop.
You can't say those things.
I know.
I'm a married woman.
Yes.
Prospectively married for 25 years. My husband is a local councillor. He runs a haberdashery shop.
Congratulations.
And before you sneer at me, have you looked in the mirror recently?
The mirror?
The clothes you're wearing, the shoes, the smell on your breath.
You're right, I'm a disgrace. A failure. A part-time musician and a full-time drinker. But that doesn't change the past, Katerina, does it? What happened all those years ago?
No.
So you finally admit you were there.
Goodbye. Please don't follow me.
And tell me, one last thing. Why did you come here tonight?
Why?
Yes. Why come to Währinger Cemetery at dusk to stand on the edge of a crowd and watch an exhumation? Both Beethoven and Schubert dug up together. Two dusty old coffins dragged to the surface. You want to see Vienna honor its greatest musicians? Join the crowds as they gaze on their relics? Watch them reunited in eternity? Or is it just possible you came because of this music? Like I did. Because of a Beethoven quartet played in a dingy room 35 years ago. Which I happened to play. And you happened to hear. The last request of a dying man. With so much to live for. So very much. And then you looked over his bed. And caught my eye. And well, something happened between us. Why did he choose this music? This piece above all? Because it's haunted you in some strange way ever since. It's been your waking dream. Is that why you came here tonight? Be honest. Because
deep down, you hope that I'd come too.
If I'm honest.
Yes.
And perhaps it was. Yes.
It leads you at the end into asking the question, well, what's going to happen next? And he actually uses a device that's very typical for him, that he just ignores where he is and jumps up half a note. And it's very quiet, and it's certainly very lively, but all the time the darkness and the repose of the first movement pulls it back. This is, of course, deliberate. It's part of the process of telling us that if I've written you a profound and long fugue for the first movement, don't expect a normal allegro for the second.
I can't eat this. Why did you serve me this? Of all the things I hate, some stinking, steaming haddock with its dead eyes staring up at me. You can't poison me that easily. I know that's what you want. I can taste it in my mouth. So you take this away, get it out of my sight. I won't be poisoned today.
Hesh, are you all right?
It's the dream again. Katerina.
Drink this.
It's always that dream.
Shh, just drink.
Oh, dear. Why is it always the same one, Katerina? Why?
I don't know. I'm
having dinner with my brother Ferdinand. We're talking about our walking tour through the Burgenland, smiling at the waitress with the brilliant, sparkling blue eyes. Oh, all the wine flows and flows and... Eat up, Ferdinand. It says, eat up your fish. But I know he's poisoned it, and... and everyone else, all my friends, they all want me dead, gone.
Before it can even get going, you realize that the music has disintegrated again with a big question mark, and we're waiting to see what's happened. And at this point there is a very natural progression into a recitative, like an oratorio. There are stable chords, and then there's a cadenza. There's like the singer is, before the aria, is doing a recitative, exactly in the Messiah, for example.
What's happening?
Sounds like they've reached Beethoven's coffin. Shall I go and see?
No.
I won't be long.
But I'd rather you stayed here, kept me company.
What? A strange and disreputable fellow like me?
Maybe I was too quick to judge. Shall we go and sit down?
This link goes into the most unpretentious and the most beautiful tune, which is our tune for the big center of this piece. So we are now, without realizing it, into the fourth movement. This is a huge movement, a song, and it is varied in the most incredibly unusual way.
Let's talk about that day we met in Schubert's room.
Matthias.
I've thought about it so much, I've never stopped thinking. What happened? Was it the music? Did it change us?
It wasn't that simple.
Then what, Katerina? Tell me.
All right. I'll try. I'll start at the beginning. Before Herr Schubert and I even met, before I ever knew about this Beethoven and his music, I'm sent to an address, 6 Kettenbrückengasse. I'm told to go and meet Dr. Rinner, who's attending his patient, a man of 31. His name is Herr Franz Peter Schubert.
Did you recognize him?
No.
You didn't know who he was?
Why should I? I was a young girl of 17 with little education. All I knew was bandages and bedpans, of sitting up all night listening to the rattle in a man's throat. Of having bowls of soup thrown back in my face or a hand shoved up my skirt.
Schubert?
No. Not him. But that was my life. A simple nurse. Invisible. Insignificant. A nobody at the end of the bed. Not like you, who lived and breathed music. A young man with a real talent. God-given. Blessed.
So his music?
It meant nothing.
All those songs and symphonies?
No. Would it have made any difference if I didn't know? Eased his pain if I hummed a melody as I bound up his bed sores with mustard powder? Or squeezed lime and water down his throat? Or begged him to lie still so I could bleed him one more time because Dr. Rinner said, Katerina, I don't know what to do. I have to do something, but I don't know what to do.
It was that bad.
Bad? No, it was worse than bad. When I arrived, everyone had abandoned him, all his friends. Obviously, they feared infection. That's a poor excuse.
Even Ferdinand?
Even his brother. And for the 6 days I nursed him, Herr Schubert asked for no one, expected no one. Only his dreams became worse. Over and over, he'd wake up crying, sweating from every pore, convinced he was being poisoned by Ferdinand, how he was being made to eat a plate of rotten fish.
Was there nothing you could do?
Do? Mm. The mercury had taken hold. It was only a matter of time.
Herr Schubert, sir. My name is Katerina Stryker.
There's a certain look in a dying man's eyes you get to know. It's partly caused by fear.
Katerina.
Clinging on to life.
Can I call you that?
Of course.
And partly by anger.
Did Dr. Rinner send you?
Kicking and fighting every inch of the way.
Yes, I am your new nurse.
Then don't make yourself too comfortable. As he told you, what good progress I'm making. Every day, I grow stronger and stronger. Then I'll soon be out of this bed and back at my desk.
I'm sure you will.
Of course I lied.
I mean, if that's what Dr. Rinner said.
That was part of my job, too. Dr. Rinner was most adamant.
And you follow all his instructions?
Well, I intend to.
Then I'm sure you'll make a full and complete recovery. Why not?
I'm very conscientious, Katerina. I have every faith in medicine.
Then let's start with your first dose, sir. A bowl of hot beef soup.
But as I reached the door and glanced back to Herr Schubert sitting up in bed looking straight ahead, I could see it in his eyes. A sudden glimpse of that deeper struggle.
Struggle?
You see, Matthias, the dying man is frightened and angry, but there's something else there too, beyond that. Even at 17, I'd nursed enough people to know what it was. A kind of willingness.
Acceptance?
No, more than that.
Oh, peace?
More. I can't find the word. Yes, desire.
What? You're saying Herr Schubert wanted to die?
In a way.
At only 31? With so much life ahead of him. So much left to give the world. Extraordinary, fantastic music he knew he had inside him.
He wanted to just turn to the wall and die. He desired it.
No, not giving in that way, defeated and destroyed, as if he'd failed. No, that's not what I mean at all.
One more variation. Very soft. He says sotto voce, which means with very, very low voice. Almost painful in its lyricism.
I'm saying a man like Herr Schubert wasn't able to simply accept his fate and resign himself to it. That wasn't how he lived, was it? Now he had to embrace it the way he had embraced everything in his life. The desire to create music. The desire to love, to sing and dance and eat good food and drink the best wines and seduce women. The desire to stand on a mountaintop and gaze with wonder at the horizon, to see beyond it even. Live life as if every moment counts for now and forever. And now, in that room, the desire to die.
Spoonful of soup, Herr Schubert.
Aren't we finished?
Not yet.
Huh? Oh, Katerina.
The colour has come back into your cheeks.
It has?
Lies, of course. All lies.
Don't you feel stronger already? In your legs and arms?
Mm. All right. If you really think it's working.
I do.
And you get a closure again with very hesitant and very expressive music.
So what held him back, Katerina? What prevented him from welcoming his destiny? His death. From embracing it as he would a long-lost lover.
This is the, if you like, the critical point for the listener, because you're wondering, you really are wondering, what he's going to hit you with next.
I think he held back because of one thing.
A hope?
More an expectation, an anticipation. Maybe even a promise.
The Beethoven?
Yes.
Because he wanted to hear the quartet?
Yes.
Is that why he chose it? Because he hoped it would do what?
He hoped it would cure him. No, more than that. He believed it would. Because he worshipped Beethoven. He adored him.
Everyone knew that. He was even a torchbearer at Beethoven's funeral.
So how could Beethoven desert him when he most needed it? Hadn't he spent his whole life in the shadow of his idol? How could he abandon him now? So this music would be his deliverance, his salvation. A touch from the divine.
Divine?
Oh, yes. He really thought that Beethoven's music possessed unearthly powers. He really thought it would be the miracle he craved.
And then it's like skittles falling over. The cello comes in with four notes very fast and then silence again. There are sort of wonderful interchanges between the instruments, but just like our other fast movement, the darkness is never far away.
There. Shall I read to you now?
Perhaps the book you asked for. The Last of the Mohicans.
Not now.
Not even a page? Half a page.
No.
But Dr. Rinner...
Damn, Dr. Rinner, I may only be the patient here. Do my wishes count for nothing?
Of course they do, sir. I'll leave you.
I'll be in the kitchen.
Katerina, stop, stop. Let me explain. I have to prepare myself. It isn't easy. I'm I'm too excited. Even now, lying in this bed, my heart is racing, hurtling.
Prepare yourself.
Because something is happening tomorrow, Katerina, very special, which I have asked for especially. I don't expect you to understand.
What?
I saw a flicker then. His terrible, awful hope.
A wish is about to come true, a prayer answered.
I remember it now. How it pierced me right through.
In this room, a piece of music will be performed at the bottom of my bed. A quartet in C-sharp minor.
Music?
My dear friend Holtz is arranging it. He's found some musicians. Do you know Beethoven's music?
I lied again.
Yes, a little.
Then you know how great a genius he is.
If you say so.
No, it's not just me. Ask anyone. The whole of Vienna, Austria, is famous throughout Europe. Water, please.
He puts tunes together. He reconstitutes them with the tune starting with the wrong four bars and then the right four bars following. He's sort of switching the blocks all the time.
Listen.
Then he grabbed my hand.
I've heard such stories about this quartet, Katerina. Amazing stories.
Ripped it hard.
Of course, I've read the score and been amazed, but I've never ever heard it. And tomorrow I get the chance. I get the chance to hear it myself. Do you believe music can change you?
How could I answer that?
I do. I believe it has the power, if you let it, if you truly open yourself and welcome it completely into yourself, to change everything. I know this quartet has that power. I feel it off the page. So, who knows what could happen here in this room?
So?
I mean, it couldn't be a better moment, could it? When poor old Franz Schubert is on his sickbed, wondering if he'll ever get up and out of it again.
Three very big chords, silence. Three more big chords, and at that point, where'd you go from here?
He still had my hand.
Yes.
He was staring straight ahead, in some other world. Distant.
I know that, you know, as a listener and also as a player, when you get to this point, you know that your threshold of listening and playing is not going to last for much longer.
I sat there, but I waited, because I knew it wasn't over.
So at this point you realize that you're being asked to give more than anybody has ever asked you to give, either as a player or as a listener.
Whatever he wanted to tell me. Not yet.
What he is thinking is that at this point, to reestablish the seriousness of this work, he needs a serious lament. It's a short but incredibly powerful slow movement.
Oh, listen to me, go on. You're a stranger, I hardly know you. You've come here to nurse a sick man, not have to put up with his ravings.
It's all right.
You will tell me if I'm losing my mind.
Sir.
Please, be honest. Absolute honesty is all I ask. Do you really think I can get better?
He's wringing all the emotion out of you at this point.
There is a chance.
Of course.
Realistically.
Yes.
You sound doubtful. I can hear it in your voice.
Look, perhaps tomorrow.
Yes? Yes?
You said yourself, sir, when the Beethoven's music fills the room.
Yes. My music. For me.
When you hear all that beauty and Beethoven's... Well, because you want it so much.
More than anything else.
Then surely it will make you so happy, you'll leap out of the bed.
Happy.
So you get a very sad, very, very expressive melody.
You think Beethoven's music is happy?
I don't know.
You think that's what I want, even now?
It is almost like a cry.
Happiness.
And it gets more and more tearful.
To die with a stupid smile on my face.
And you're wondering, you know, whether the piece will end in despair.
Yes, Hubert.
And then you get a very powerful theme, like a march.
I don't listen to Beethoven to be happy. I can be happy anywhere, Katrina, eating sausage with my friends, singing drunk in the street, a night in the arms of a willing woman. The pleasures of this world are immeasurable. If you don't know how to be happy in it, you are a fool. And all my life I've been surrounded by these pleasures that I've partaken of freely, eagerly, greedily even.
It needs an incredible amount of energy, which you know you don't have, and at the same time you find reserves for it. It's a classic situation of, if you want to do something as much as, you know, life and death, you find the energy, the adrenaline flows, everything comes to life. And at this point, where you should be flagging the life and the drive of the music, reawakens you.
I'm truly compelled by some inner demon, and I ask myself, why, what am I looking for? What do I hope to discover beyond the pleasures and pain? Some window into the human soul, some truth, some essence. What is my music for? But as soon as I hear Beethoven, I know. The moment I hear the opening of the Eroica or the Hammerclavier Sonata or the Overture to Fidelio, I know why I listen, why I have to, I must, because music isn't there to give answers, but only to ask the questions correctly, the questions each one of us must be brave enough and honest enough to face, questions about life, about what's important, truly important, and the greatest music from the greatest genius asks the biggest questions of all. That is the only and eternal truth, the only duty of artists to keep on asking those questions regardless, and refusing to accept easy answers, but to keep on asking and asking and keep on. I'm sorry, I...
Yes, Hubert.
His grip became loose. He fell back on his pillow.
Tired.
Yes.
So I must... Yes. Yes.
And he was asleep immediately. For a moment, I remember looking down at him and thinking, is he breathing? Is he still alive?
Oh, sweet Jesus, thank you.
I crept from the room. I lit a candle and sat in the kitchen and ate a little supper of bread and cheese, watching the shadows on the wall. Afterwards, I tried to hum some Beethoven, but nothing came to mind. All I could remember was a tune my mother taught me when I was a child, for when I felt lonely. Something to keep my spirits up. So I hummed it, but it made no difference. I still felt like the loneliest person in Vienna.
They must have reached Schubert's coffin now.
Yes.
Which do you think they'll bring up first?
Does it matter? One box of bones is much like another.
You don't sound impressed.
I'm not anymore. Now it all seems so long ago. A lifetime.
Even what happened after the concert, between you and I? You don't deny it.
Why should I?
That we, you and I...
Go on, say it. You think I'm so respectable now I want to deny it? Years and years of marriage has wiped the past clean. 35 years ago, You played some impossible music by some fancy composer in a dark room for a man half crazy with the pox who lay dying on his bed, struggling for every breath. You played it. He listened to it, and then we made love.
For the first time.
And the last. We gave in to each other. In a darkened room somewhere.
Hardly saying a word.
Reaching out for each other.
Knowing what we had to do.
Yes.
But knowing why we did it. Why? You know, for a long while afterwards, I doubted it had ever happened. It seemed so incredible. Improbable. I thought, was it really a dream? Something I imagined? This tender, yielding slip of a girl, with her pink cheeks and her beautiful, beautiful, caressing hands, who, after we played and were leaving, came running after me down the street and drew me to one side and whispered in my ear, "My name is Katerina Stryker. I'm Herr Schubert's nurse. You were watching me, weren't you? The whole time you were playing. Herr Schubert saw too. I know somewhere we can go to be alone. But you have to come now. Say nothing but come with me now."
And before you know it, the piece has finished.
Ah, yeah. Excellent. Bravo! Bravo!
You're completely drained at the end of it.
Herr Schubert.
More so than any other piece that I know of. He just absolutely uses every ounce of energy, emotion, everything that you've got.
You better go. He'll be fine. He just needs to rest.
Katerina, what we did, what happened, was it so bad, so wrong, so very sinful? After all this time, can't we forgive each other? Forgive ourselves. Just say there was a moment when we were young, when our whole lives stretched out before us, when everything seemed possible and no illusions shattered or compromises made and dreams deferred and all the bitter daily disappointments that make up an ordinary life.
Yes.
A moment when we were truly innocent.
Oh, yes.
And somehow that moment passed in that room that afternoon when I played a Beethoven quartet in C-sharp minor to a dying man who believed that music had the power to save him.
Oh, yes. Who believed it with all his heart. And yet when he heard it, when he was confronted with the questions that the music asked.
We were confronted by those questions too.
Is that why we turned to each other? Because we watched a desperate man have his final hopes dashed?
There was that.
Because we couldn't comfort him, but we could comfort each other?
Yes.
But even as that hope dies, something else came alive, didn't it? When you and I embraced. Didn't you feel it?
Yes.
Didn't you feel it through your whole being?
Yes.
Then be content with that, Matthias. Hard as it sounds, cherish that. Because Herr Schubert was right. Trying to find answers is like chasing shadows with a butterfly net. No matter how far you run, all you'll ever trap is your own presumption. The shadows will fly free.
So at the end of it, exhaustion, but also a feeling that I'm sure every performer would say about the late Beethoven quartets, that you wonder why you ever play any other pieces except the late Beethoven quartets.
Herr Schubert, are you all right? Did you enjoy the concert? They played well, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who's the young boy on the viola?
I don't know.
No?
Holtz didn't tell me any of their names. But I saw you looking at him the whole time. He's handsome, yes. Don't pretend. I shall be dead soon. Whatever secret you tell me now, it will go to the grave.
I liked him, yes.
Yes. Why don't you run after him and ask his name?
I couldn't.
Why not?
Because I don't know if I could trust myself, sir.
Isn't that precisely the reason you have to do it? Ah, we have heard such music today. Aren't you changed in some way? Different? I know I am. But not in any way I foresaw. No answers. But questions. Questions, Katerina, so many questions. Oh. But my life is over. I know that now. I go to face a greater judgment, but for you, your judgment is yourself. The decisions you now make for the life you want. So follow your heart, Katerina, and run after him. And I shall run with you. For now and forever, I shall be there, by your side. What are you waiting for?
Please, stop! Stop! Oh, excuse me, but my name is Katerina Stryker. I'm Herr Schubert's nurse.
You wonder why you ever play any other pieces except the late Beethoven quartets. You wonder why you don't devote your whole life. It's like, you know, going into a monastery when people get called by God, that they just want to go and reflect and study religion and think about what they believe in. Well, this is a similar feeling, that you could, and I expect one should, spend a considerable amount of time just reflecting on these pieces and on the C-sharp minor quartet. And the more one does, I think the more you'd get, you know, whatever the truth is in life, because this has got a very powerful message. And the more time you spend trying to get to the center of this, the better you would feel. And it's obvious also that this piece gave him, Beethoven, great satisfaction, because he said on more than one occasion that this was his favorite work out of everything. And, you know, that's saying something when you think of all the masterpieces that he produced.
In Resurrecting Schubert by Nicholas McInerney, Julian Rhind-Tutt was Schubert, and Barbara Flynn played Katerina. Kathy Sarah was the young Katerina, and Simon Chandler played Matthias. The commentary was provided by Levon Chilingirian, and Beethoven's C-sharp minor quartet was played by the Cool String Quartet. Resurrecting Schubert was directed and produced in Birmingham by Rosie Baltimore.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 3 o'clock. Tony Blair has reshuffled his cabinet, sacking the Home Secretary Charles Clarke and replacing him with John Reid. Mr Clarke said the Prime Minister felt that he would be vulnerable to events in the next few weeks as he tried to sort out the release of foreign prisoners into the community. Arriving at the Home Office, Mr Reid said he was aware of the difficult task ahead and he paid tribute to his predecessor.
Charles dealt with it with great stature, great responsibility and great courage. I'm sorry he's decided to go from government. I think that is a loss to us, but I do respect his view.
Among the other key changes to the government, John Prescott has lost responsibility for communities and local government to Ruth Kelly, but stays as Deputy Prime Minister. Alan Johnson moves to education and Margaret Beckett becomes Foreign Secretary. The reshuffle was announced after the party's poor performance in the local elections in England became clear. Labour have lost 270 seats, as many as the Conservatives have won. The Tory leader David Cameron said the result was an important step forward. The Liberal Democrats achieved only moderate success. A man has been detained in hospital under the Mental Health Act after he admitted killing a woman who was pregnant with twins. Tina Stevenson, a mother of five young children, was stabbed in the back in Hull last year. Police said Benjamin Holliday had stolen a knife from a department store and launched his attack a few minutes later.